The portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. This is our first lesson for today, this 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, a husband and a wife go away for a few days on a short vacation, and before they leave, they tell their teenage children to do some certain things around the house, certain jobs to do. Clean the house, take out the garbage, clean up their rooms, and so on. But when they get back, none of those jobs are done. The house is a complete disaster. Garbage day was missed. No one cleaned up their room or did anything. But parents get upset and start yelling at their children, and the children reply, "What's the big deal? Who cares? Don't worry about it. We'll get all those jobs and we'll just do them now. Just settle down and relax." Those kids don't think that not obeying their parents was all that big of a deal. Oh, but they'll eventually come to realize that it was a big deal, as they will have to face the consequences for their inactions. Perhaps Achan thought the same thing about his sin. Achan, along with all the other Israelites, they marched around the city of Jericho for 7 days, and on the seventh day they marched around it 7 times. They blew the trumpets, they shouted, and the walls of Jericho came falling down, and they ran into the city to plunder it. But before they did that, Joshua, the leader of the Israelites, told the people that anything, all the gold and silver and so on, was to be given to the Lord, and they weren't to take anything from the city for themselves. He said, "Keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord, and must go to his treasury." But what did Achan do? He ran into the rubble of Jericho, and there he saw a robe imported from Babylonia. He found about 5 pounds worth of silver and about 1.25 pounds of gold, and he took them for himself. He took them home and buried them in the ground underneath his tent. He chose money and possessions over God and his word. He loved the things of this world more than he loved God and put him first ahead of the Lord. And he probably tried to justify his own actions in his mind. "Oh, it's not that big of a deal," he thought. "I'm just taking a little bit. Not a whole lot. And God's not going to miss all that. God's getting so much else. He's not going to miss this little bit of money that I took. It would be a shame to let that nice coat burn in the fire. I'm sure other people are doing it. I'm sure I'm not the only one who's taken things for himself. It's really okay. It's not that big of a deal." After Jericho, the Israelites were to go up against the small city of Ai. It should have been a rout for the Israelites. Easily wiped out the entire city. But instead, Ai wanted a resounding victory. 36 Israelite men perished in that battle. Joshua came crawling to the Lord and wondered why the Lord had not fought on their side. And the Lord revealed it was because someone in the camp had sinned. Someone had taken things from God for themselves. So the next day, God told Joshua to have all the people gathered around before him, and the Lord would reveal to everyone who had committed that sin. And when he had been revealed, he would be killed. As the Lord said, "He who is caught with the devoted things shall be destroyed by fire, along with all things that belong to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." So Achan might not have thought that his actions were all that big of a deal, but they were a big deal to the Lord. we too may fall into that same sin of Achan, who stole from God because of his love for money and possessions. Now, our stealing from God might not be so blatant as taking money from the offering plate. But what do we withhold from the Lord for the sake of luxury or convenience? How often do we rob the Lord of glory and honor simply because we don't feel like going to worship, or because we have other things to do rather than to worship Him or read His Word? Sometimes we openly choose to do something other than God and His Word. But other times, and often when we commit that sin of secret idolatry, we do it subconsciously. We don't even notice it. Over time, it just happens. Even without our knowing. Over time, the things of this world, maybe it's money and possessions like Achan, maybe it's things like family or work, it could be any number of certain things, over time, they become important in our lives. Over time, they control our lives. We think about them all the time. We strive to do them or to make time for them. And before we know it, whether we're conscious of it or not, those things take our number one priority. Many times those things become more important than God and His Word. And God gets pushed aside. He gets pushed to the back burner only to be pulled out whenever we feel like it or whenever we need Him. Often we're completely unaware of the many gods that we have in our lives and completely unaware of the many times we commit that sin of secret idolatry against the first command. Whether we do it consciously or not, we might make excuses. When we come to realize our sin, we might try to justify our actions. Similar to what Achan might have done. It's really not that big of a deal, we can say. Everyone seems to be doing it. Just look at our congregation. And any given Sunday, more than 50% of our congregation is not going to worship with us. There are very little people who actually study God's Word in Bible study. You can say, I can still love God at home. I can still believe in Him even though I'm not worshiping Him. I can still be close to God when I'm out fishing or hunting on Sunday morning. And try to say, God gave us so many gifts. It would be a shame if I didn't make use of those gifts on a regular basis. And besides, I still love God. I still put God first in my life quite often, especially compared to other people in the rest of the world who don't care about God at all. We may look at such sins of secret idolatry as no big deal. But they're certainly a big deal to God. Look what happened to Achan. Achan and all that was to him, all his possessions, were stoned and then burned in a fire. The same thing will happen to all who reject Christ. Those who don't believe in Christ, those who don't believe in Jesus as the world's one and only Savior, won't just die a physical death, won't just be burned in a physical fire. They will die eternally and be burned with an eternal fire. Those who reject the Lord in favor of something else, in favor of the things of this world, will be destroyed eternally in the fires of hell. Secret idolatry may not seem like much. It may not seem as if it's a big deal, but it certainly is to the Lord. It is a big deal to the Lord so much that God sent His Son into the world. God came down from heaven to live on this earth as true God and true man at the same time for the explicit purpose of saving us. He didn't come down to see what His creation is like or to see what humans were like. No, He came down for the one purpose of saving us from our sins. To become one of us. To be numbered with the transgressors. He sent His Son into the world to suffer and die as a punishment for our sins. Sin is such a big deal that He sent His Son to save us from sin. Sending His Son into the world to serve as our substitute, to suffer and die and rise from the dead, is the only way He could save us from our sins. So that is what Christ willingly did. Christ willingly gave up the glories and riches and honors of heaven to live on this earth as one of us, to suffer and die as our substitute. He willingly was forsaken by his heavenly Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, we see clearly that Jesus knew full well what he would have to endure. Not just the physical pain, but the emotional and spiritual pain that we would have to endure as he became guilty of our sins, as he was forsaken by his Father, and yet he willingly went through it. He willingly gave up heaven. He willingly suffered and died. He willingly suffered through the pain and agony of hell to save us from our sin. To suffer for our punishment that we deserve for our sins. After the Israelites did to Achan as he commanded, after they stoned him, after they burned him, God's wrath was appeased. He was no longer angry with his children because a wicked and sinful man was living among them. He told them to go attack Ai again. And this time the Lord gave the Israelites an astounding victory over Ai and completely destroyed the whole city. Over 500 years before this, God had promised that land of Canaan to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and their descendants. And now God is finally fulfilling his promise, to giving that promised land to his children. He would be with them again and again in battle after battle as they took over the land, as they destroyed their enemies and drove them out of the promised land. God was fulfilling his promise to give them that promised land. God is a just God who demands that sins be paid for. When Christ died on the cross, when he shed his blood, he paid for those sins. The ransom price that God demanded was paid for by Christ on the cross. God is a God who demands justice. So Christ died in our place, satisfying that justice. God's fury then subsided. His wrath is appeased. Our sins, what makes God angry at us, are no longer there. So God is no longer angry with us because of our sin, because he no longer counts our sin against us. But he counted them against Christ. The wrath of God has been satisfied by the blood of Christ. No longer will our sins come back to haunt us. No longer will our sins condemn us, because Christ was condemned for our sins. We are pure and innocent in the eyes of the Lord. Even though we sin against him time and time again, even though we fail to even obey his first commandment, we are forgiven in the eyes of the Lord because of Christ. Achan, now he had to face the consequences for his sin. And there may be consequences for our sin from time to time, but don't confuse those consequences for punishments. Those consequences keep us from sinning again. Punishments for sin are different. The punishment for our sin has already been suffered for by Christ. He already suffered for our punishment. He already suffered through hell. We will not be punished for our sin because Christ suffered that punishment already. About 800 years or so after Joshua, the prophet Isaiah prophesied about Christ's suffering and death, and he wrote, "Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." By the wounds of Christ, God's wrath has been satisfied. When we die, we know full well where we are going. Like the Lord led the Israelites in the promised land and gave them that land of Canaan that he had promised them long ago, so the Lord leads us to our own promised land. And this promised land is far better. For it's not a land that requires fighting or war. It's not a land filled with sinners and the results of sin. It is filled with saints and angels and, most importantly, God. It is the land of heaven. Eternal life. Living with God, perfect and holy forever. Singing praises to our Lord and singing Him in His full glory as we share in that glory. That is the promised land that He is leading us to. A promised land that we don't deserve, but is given to us by Christ and won for us by Him. We can't even keep that first commandment. And yet God, in His grace and mercy, sent His Son to be our substitute. That Son shed His blood to pay for our sins, to give us that gift of heaven, to bring us to His eternal promised land. We will live in heaven forever. That's how gracious and loving and forgiving our Lord truly is. Well, Achan, he was put to death for a sin. But for all we know, Achan is in heaven. Now, Scripture is silent on the matter. We don't know Achan's heart. Did he confess his sins because he was sorry for them? Because he trusted the Lord for forgiveness? Or did he confess his sins simply because he got called out and everyone knew that he had committed some crime anyway? Again, we don't know for sure. It seems to me as if we will see Achan in heaven. We'll find out when we get there. But what we do know for sure is that Achan's confession is one that we can all follow. Look at Achan's confession. He didn't hide from his sin. He didn't make excuses. He didn't try to deny his wrongdoing. He didn't try to justify his actions. No, he confessed all of his sin. Even down to minute details, he openly and freely confessed what he had done wrong. The teenagers didn't think that failing to listen and obey their parents was that big of a deal. And that's what the devil tries to get us to do with sins, even sins against the first commandment. That failing to put God first in their place, oh, that's not that big of a deal. But it is to the Lord. Therefore, we follow the example of Achan's confession. We don't hold back in confessing our sin. For where sin increases, God's grace increases all the more. There's no reason to hide from your sins. There's no reason to try to justify your actions or to hide details. The more we see we're sinners, the more we see the grace of God, the more we see how loving and merciful our Lord truly is. When we confess our sins and we trust in Him for forgiveness, we are giving glory to the Lord and we are praising His name. Therefore, let us confess all of our sins freely and fully so that they may be wiped out by the Lord. And let us put Him first in our lives. Let us love Him with a whole heart. Let us use His love, mercy, and forgiveness as motivation to love Him, to do what pleases Him, knowing full well that when we sin, we have a loving and merciful God who saw it as such a big deal to give up His Son. That Son would suffer and die to forgive us and to bring us to His promised land of eternal life. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.